rest of the story. In 1771, the French government made an unusual appeal to the medical faculty of Paris. The government was seeking a judgment, a ruling, regarding a certain substance. It had been considered by some a narcotic, by many a powerful sexual stimulant, an aphrodisiac. Now, that's not what concerned the authorities. What bothered them was that this something called solanum tuberosum had been linked by observers for 150 years with half a dozen diseases, including scrofula and leprosy. So now it was left to the medical faculty of Paris to decide, was solanum tuberosum really as hazardous to public health as some had suggested? What happened then in 1771 was not unlike what happens these days with public and governmental concern over questionable substances. But two centuries past, it was, as I say, solanum tuberosum causing all the fuss. Let's review the facts. The first Europeans to encounter solanum tuberosum were the Spanish. That was during the 16th century. They initially tried it out on slaves, and then they sat back and watched the slaves, and the results were very satisfactory, as far as the Spanish were concerned. So, with the approaching 17th century, solanum tuberosum became fashionable in some European circles. It was believed to be remarkably sexually stimulating. At the time, it was noted that solanum tuberosum did increase seed and provoke lust, causing fruitfulness in both sexes, that in geographic regions of prevalence, it was no unusual thing to see 6 or 7 or 8 or 10, sometimes more children, the issue of one couple. Following similar reports, there was a run on the stuff. But the trouble began in 1619. Solanum tuberosum was banned in Burgundy. Its excessive use had been linked to leprosy. And as word spread, it was apparent that many Europeans placed personal health ahead of their sex lives, and solanum tuberosum fell rapidly into disfavor. Through the next century and a half, it was called a contributing factor to gout and rickets and consumption. As late as 1768, a respected Swiss physician named Daniel Langhaus drew convincing correlations between solanum tuberosum and the presence of scrofula in Switzerland. It was only 3 years later that all available data was evaluated by the medical faculty of Paris, and the official verdict on solanum tuberosum was not guilty. Not guilty. In fact, you know, this prestigious body declared solanum tuberosum actually was good for you. Wait a minute. One might imagine such a statement from such a source would lay the long-standing suspicions to rest once and for all, but that would be wrong. In 1774, following a famine in Prussia, Frederick the Great dispatched a wagon load of the stuff to Kohlberg, and nobody would touch it. And similar skepticism continued into the next century. After all, solanum tuberosum, called by some the Indian artichoke, was related to a number of poisonous plants in the solanum family, including the deadly nightshade. So, who could know for sure what might happen to anybody indulging in solanum tuberosum, otherwise known as the potato? Well, by now, of course, you know the rest of the story.